Welcome to a special Gondwana Sound podcast with me, Jill Turner, in the company of Pacific Curls. They're a trio who span the globe, comprising a Maori, a Scot, and a Pacific Islander. They've travelled extensively, playing in the tropical paradise of New Caledonia, the harsher concrete environment of South Korea, the Vancouver Winter Olympics, WOMAD, New Zealand, and consolidated their audiences and fan base with countless tours of Australia, New Zealand, and a knockout Canadian tour. I caught up with them in the English seaside town of Bridlington, where they had turned in an impressive set at the Musicport Festival.
My name's Sarah Beattie. No guess is where I might be from. Aberdeenshire, wee town, well, big town now, called Inverurie. And I'm a fiddle player, also known as the violin.
Kia ora, my name is Aura Balo, and I'm from Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I play percussion, the cajon, ukulele, and some traditional instruments from New Zealand, taonga puoro we call it, and vocals. Kim Halliday is the other sort of third member that you're not hearing here. She's sort of the silent person. Her mum's from the islands of Rotuma, which is in the Pacific, near sort of the islands of Fiji. So her aunties and all of her kind of family play the ukulele. It's kind of synonymous with the Pacific as the ukulele, even though it's migrated from Portugal. So she kind of grew up with the sound of it, but didn't play it so much and was more guitar trained. Did incredible things with Robert Fripp and, you know, great guitar players, and studied with him and toured and all that sort of stuff. And then picked up the ukulele, you know, a few years back. But of course, because she's Pacific, she's got that sort of style of strumming and kind of knows the feel, just really took it somewhere else and introduced her style of playing that's very jazz and that really is kind of a fundamental sound of our trio, melodic sound of our trio. Fantastic instrument that really kind of identifies our sound.
Thank you.
With their roots in two opposite ends of the world, my first question had to be how on earth did they get to meet up in the first place and then realise that their music would actually work together. Sarah starts us off.
Have you got all night? We met maybe about 5-ish years ago, and Ora was part of a collaboration called Planet Woman, and that was a Maori Celtic Pacific five-piece collaboration, and I was out in Australia doing my travelling buzz after studying music in Glasgow, and I was actually just busking in the streets of Sydney and having a great time and playing in the Irish bars and gigging around with lots of Scottish groups that were out there at the time, and then the girls got in touch with me to introduce me to the project, the Planet Woman project. So off I went to Aotearoa for the first time and met them all, and there was five of us, and gradually after tours of mainly Australia, New Zealand, and Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales, about 4 years ago, we've just gradually come down to a three-piece, and that seems to work. Doing the same thing, collaborating our own styles and where we're from, and now we're called Pacific Curls.
Well, that idea started around 2002. I was in a Pacific trio again called Manuhiri, and we got invited to do some work with the Commonwealth Games that happened in Manchester, 2002. And then we travelled up to Scotland and met a singer-songwriter called Lorraine Jordan, who is now based in London, but she's a Irish heritage, but lived in Edinburgh and grew up in Wales. So she was sort of always called herself a mixed-up Celt. And then also another incredible musician called Jill Hunter, and who was also based up in Edinburgh at the time. So the three of us met the two of them and got on like a house on fire. And then we went back home to New Zealand, the three of us, and kept in contact, and then thought, well, look, why don't you come over? We'll organise a bit of a tour for us, and we'll have two kind of shows, double bill our shows, and we'll tour around the place. And as it happens, when you spend that amount of time with each other, you end up playing and jamming, and then so slowly through that tour, we started to do more performance songs together. And what really excited us was this whole idea of that your music comes from a source of culture within yourself. Your whole sense of yourself is what you're expressing on stage. And so how to bring together everybody's source of self, what culture, where they're from. We had sort of the Scottish from Jill, we had the Irish from Lorraine, we had the Māori from us, and also Samoa. We had another woman from the Pacific. And so just this kind of really interesting thing where things came together, our cultures came together through music, and it made complete sense. People would go, oh, that's really, you know, I can't really quite see how that's going to happen, but it does, because all of those cultures have such a strong sense of self, a strong sense of connection to land, a strong sense of who we all are, that when we sort of meet at that place, then the music just kind of happened really effortlessly.
So how did they manage all the creative inputs, and who's responsible for the arrangements? Aura picks up the question.
We mostly write all of our own material, and then some of the, mostly the traditional stuff comes from Sarah with the reels and the jigs and that kind of tradition. Everything else is what we compose together. So somebody might come in with an idea or, a melodic line of some sort, and then everybody then starts to throw in lyrical ideas, fiddle parts, drum parts, whatever the other melody lines are. So, and then we sit down and arrange it and, you know, have a few scraps every now and again, then have a bottle of wine, and then we're fine. So, no, not a bottle of wine, but, you know, like we manage to, and I don't know how that happens, because there's some fantastic moments where you just go, gee, that just really works, and it just didn't feel like it was going to work because it was just so hard to get there. But the hardness is just being able to, I think, being able to, you have diverse personalities, you have diverse way of playing, and how to bring that diversity together is really challenging but also incredibly rewarding.
Well, one of our tracks, Marnie Swanson and the Grey Coast with the Jews Cruise, we've called it. Reels and jigs and waltzes are just in my blood, really. It comes so naturally to play them, but through the classical training I bring in my own style, which is a mixture, it's a blend of classical and Celtic styles. So the Jewish rock piece just happened from a beautiful angelic waltz. I don't know how we got there, but you know, we thought, right, we've got to build this number up, and off we go into a little bit of a reel. But what Kim was playing seemed more, you know, upbeat than a reel, even just that really bassy rhythm. And then through playing the fiddle, I've picked up effects, and what you'll hear in the album is an octava pedal I use as a bass line, and I love playing the bass with what the girls do with the rhythms, because the bass just fits in really nicely there. And yeah, so with that and a little bit of effect, delay effect, you can create whatever you want. Oh, there's my phone going with a Flower of Scotland ringtone. Hang on a sec. Good old Scottish pipe tune. Oh, it's Jill Jackson. I better take that call.
Well, what a classic ringtone, and I never did find out who Jill Jackson was. Festivals are always such an important time to meet up with old friends. It's an opportunity now for us to listen to some more of their music.
Thank you.
Marnie Swanson with Jews Cruise from the album Pacific Helter from Pacific Curls. My name's Jill Turner from Gondwana Sound, and I caught up with two of the trio at the Musicport Festival in the autumn of 2009. Their set captivated me from beginning to end, not only the way they seamlessly and effortlessly fused all their traditions, but also because some of the instruments in particular fascinated me. And there were these kind of like long tubes. I couldn't quite sort of see them too clearly. I was interested because in some cultures it's considered to bring ill fortune if women play wind instruments, and I was thinking of what I'd read about the didgeridoo. I was keen to know more, so over to Aura.
That is a Hawaiian nose flute, and also used in Rarotonga, but it's a particular to that those islands because it's used or made from bamboo. So you obviously put it up against your face, you blow through your nostril, and the wind of your nostril goes through this Hawaiian flute. But in New Zealand, in our traditional instruments, our taongopuoro, we have a slightly smaller instrument, again, play through your nose. But our old people say that it is one of the most sacred sounds to create, because not only is your nose the first breath that you take, but it's also the last breath that leaves you. And so this, the whole essence of breath is vital to our life force, and therefore makes it as a very sacred process. So playing an instrument through your nose is a very soft way. And I remember reading somewhere that this elder was listening to somebody playing an instrument and just wept because of the sound that is played through the nose. And it's a very different essence and a very different feeling when it's as opposed to breath that's played through your mouth. All of our traditional instruments pre-missionary times in the 1800s were predominantly played by women. And we have something like over 240 different styles of instruments. And then when the missionaries came, they kind of really chipped away at the sources of culture and power within tribal areas. And so because women were the traditional musical players, they were also they used these instruments for healing. So a lot of the instruments was used for birthing and the birthing process. If someone was unwell, had any kind of spiritual unease or even physical unease, then that these instruments were used as part of that ceremony. And very much women predominantly women would use these instruments. So when missionaries came, they really kind of oppressed that sense of culture. And so by the end of the 1800s and early 1900s, a lot of our instruments were starting to be lost of ways of how to play it. And even now today, since the huge resurgence that was brought about by some great musicians and scholars, Richard Nunn's, also Hirini Melbourne, fantastic, amazing musician who's now since passed away, Brian Flintoff, a small group of dedicated people that brought back the use of our traditional instruments. Even now, we've not got all the ways of how these instruments are now currently played. So in terms of the didgeridoo, it's a very different culture, Aboriginal Australia, very incredibly different and incredibly... Some tribal cultures in Australia, yes, women can play. Others, no, it can't. So, like you say, everyone has a kind of a different ceremony use for our instruments, and for us, though, women always play these instruments. Thank you.
I know it's probably a crazy question, but Sarah, do you have a favourite track on the album and why, if you do?
I guess something that was new to me when I joined this group was definitely the language, the Māori language. And I must say I've got a real thing about Ora when she does her chants, her Māori chants. I just think, you know, it's really rootsy and strong and powerful. So I love the fact that we can go from a tune, you know, like maybe a nice, melodic, happy-sounding tune into this really strong, powerful chanting underneath it, you know, with a drone or whatever on the fiddle and some log drum sounds and cajon sounds. And I guess I love that. A few of her pieces do that. I think Kalimba, Kalimba Trance, one of the pieces that features the African Kalimba, which Kim plays, that's got a bit of everything in it. We've got very much Celtic sound underneath, but then the Māori chant comes in and that whole process of just showing what each of us do, which is quite strong. So that one and Poi Porotiti, which features the poi, the traditional Māori instrument that Ora plays. So I think those two, and the first track, Whakamahana, which is also really powerful, yeah.
To play the whole album now?
Yeah.
Ora.
Yeah, I like the first track, Whakamahana. It's actually our translation of the Irish blessing. So, and that was a kind of a gifting that came from this original collaboration called Planet Woman. But we then rearranged it and made it into a whole other, completely different sounding song. But I really like it because it features some traditional instruments, Māori language. It goes into kind of like a Scottish feel, which then Sarah takes into an Irish kind of feel at the very end of the song. So for me, it kind of, and then it's about the Irish blessing. It's this Māori translation of the Irish blessing, which has such a beautiful theme to it about, you know, that you're blessing someone as you say farewell, and but you will never, you know, you'll always be back, you'll always be remembered, but you know, the sun will be warm on you and the wind will blow you gently on your way, and so all these kind of pictures which are really just beautiful. So number one's, yeah, definitely a favorite of mine, and then yeah, Poi Porotiti, this instrument called the poi. It's a round sort of ball on the end of a woven string, and it's a soft ball, and it has a very percussive sound, very soft percussive sound to it. And in our tradition, we say that the poi belongs to two deities. It belongs to the earth, and the earth is called Papatūānuku, and it also belongs to the winds, and the wind, the god of the winds, is called Tawhirimātia. And so because of this genealogy, the poi respects those two by becoming the heartbeat, because that's pretty much the basis of all rhythm, is your own heartbeat, and also the air in which you breathe and moving through that. And so it's about grace and about rhythm and about dexterity and flexibility. So so then the song translated just gives respect to that, you know, the turning of the poi belongs to the earth, the turning of the poi belongs to the winds. And when you turn your face towards the four corners of the world, you can hear the heartbeat of the people. And for me, that's a beautiful, beautiful story to tell. Thank you.
My name's Jill Turner. You've been on a Gondwana Sound Round the World music adventure in the company of Sarah and Aura from Pacific Curls. Unfortunately, Kim couldn't join us. Well, the trio will be playing the Rainforest World Music Festival in Kuching in Sarawak in July 2011. I hope very much to get out there this year, and I'd like to catch up with them and find out all about the material for their new album, and also to see if the plans they told me about have come to fruition.
Hopefully to become really rich and famous, infamous. Yeah, that's just take over the world, really. Is that too much to ask? Or, I mean, we get our lottery tickets every week and hope for the best. But anyway, it's not about the money, honey.
Kia ora. Hi, we're Pacific Curls, and you're listening to Gondwana Sound, Global Roots and Grooves.
Me haere pae kwee.